Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to the Share Talk podcast. Nothing in this podcast constitutes investment advice. People in it may hold positions in the companies being discussed. Do not invest off the back of a tip or recommendation and always do your own research. Today I'm joined by Vadim Alexandre, who's head of healthcare at SB Angel. How are you today, Vadim?
Good. How are you doing, Zach?
Well, I've seen you speak to other alien type of interviewers and other people like that before, but I wanted to ask you the questions that I wanted to ask you. The premise of this interview really is lots of diagnostic, lots of testing companies out there. And what's the landscape now as we approach maybe, you know, the vaccine salvation? And who do you think, you know, who are the main runners and riders, and who do you think might be the winners? And maybe who might be the losers, but just, you know, what your expert opinion is really on the space.
Yeah, sure. So we're talking about the UK space, right? So we're predominantly interested in UK stocks. I mean, the global context is much larger, and you know, the likes of Roche, you know, and Abbott Diagnostics, they're such big players. They sit in a different camp, if you like. But yeah, they do influence the competitive landscape. However. One thing I would say about that is a lot of countries turned inwards during this crisis, and I think we all know that, and we've seen that with vaccines in particular, but it did happen in diagnostics as well. So there's a lot of, you know, championing national champions. So in the UK, we have one, which is Novacyt, which I think a lot of people know about. It's a company I cover. Novacyt is probably the biggest winner in the UK, certainly in the listed companies, because it was one of the first movers in getting a test ready, getting it approved, and then getting it rolled out, and then getting it rolled out to scale. So all those things happened early on in this crisis, and Novacyt was really kind of the true first leader in benefiting from, well, not just benefiting, I mean, getting us all out of a bit of a situation because there wasn't enough testing, right? So they helped the government essentially roll out tests as quickly as possible, but they were the main beneficiary of that, right? So they're the, I would say, one of the leaders, and we'll get back to them in a second. Then there are several smaller companies on AIM that are also involved in diagnostic testing. The ones that come to mind are companies like Omega Diagnostics, Gene Drive is another one, Abingdon Health, Source Bio, which is more you know, services related. But you know, those are the ones. I'm trying to think if I've missed any. Avacta is also a little bit involved. They have other things going on. Not all of them are pure plays, right? So they do other things as well. Whereas in the case of, say, Novacyt, it was predominantly you know, their revenues last year were driven almost entirely by their COVID related tests. So yeah, so what's the difference between all these players? I think the main difference, and I don't cover the other ones, so I won't speak too much about the detail of each one of those stocks. But I think the main difference between, say, Novacyt and the other smaller players is that Novacyt was there, capitalized on the year of, you know, heavy testing, which was the second half of, well, kind of, you know, from March onwards last year to now. And they had results of about 300 million euros last year. So you can see that they've banked the gain. Whereas a lot of the smaller players, and this is where things are risky, is that they either are still in development or have just launched their tests, or in some cases have struck an agreement here or there. And in some cases, the agreements have fallen away, like I think in the case of Omega Diagnostics and Abingdon with their DHSC agreement. You know, the DHSC kind of surprised them and turned on them a little bit. Turning on them is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. It caught them off guard in that the DHSC discontinued one of their projects. And we'll probably, you know, as a whole, that's, you know, the DHSC has to think about, you know, the next 12 months and, you know, the next several years. So we'll get onto that in a second too, is, you know, how we see testing looking for the next 12 months as compared to the last 12 months. But here's one example of a surprise, a negative surprise. What you need to have, though, is the business that can withstand that kind of surprise. So in the case of Omega and Abingdon, you know, the pricing, or if you like, in Omega's case, I think their shares rallied significantly on that contract. So when the contract was reversed, you know, you'd expect the shares to reverse, and they have, but not entirely proportionate to the rise. So what I would say to investors is just be careful with the smaller players, because A, they haven't banked the revenues like, say, Novacyt has, and B, they have less of a broader business to fall back on, because they haven't ever had a chance to be embedded in terms of generating those revenues from government and elsewhere. So I think that's something that one should be aware of. Now, Zach, stop me if you want there, if there's any questions around those points.
No, I think it's absolutely it's a fascinating area. It's almost like it gives me the view that I would like have, if I like this testing, I like this this area, I'd have like maybe half my money in Novacyt and then the other part sprinkled in other areas. But you just don't want to get into a sort of a binary bet type of situation, which is obviously the risk in this kind of area. It's a bit of a first mover advantage thing. It's a bit of a Wild West situation as well. And you've got various other factors which seem to be at play. And the interesting part is that, and the reason I'm calling, interviewing you, is that each of the, it's like football teams, and each of the companies that, you know, whether it's Omega, Avacta, Gene Drive, etc., they've got a sort of ardent, balmy army of private investors who love them and are looking for a Novacyt Mark II. And the question is whether, you know, that could still happen at this part of the cycle. I think that's probably what my, you know, without wanting to upset or undermine anyone, so, you know, where we are in the cycle, whether, you know, we're in a gold rush and whether the gold rush is nearly finished, what the situation is.
Yeah. So, you know, just to caveat everything, without giving any investment advice, obviously, right? You know, these what we're trying to just flag is the risks in the sector. So, you know, first risk, and that was the first bit, is that if you are going to invest in diagnostics on the back of COVID, make sure you're aware that the broader, most robust businesses are very different from those that are heavily exposed to one contract or heavily exposed to or don't have revenues yet, you know, to an outcome on some of their tests. And that's kind of the difference between, you know, the Novacyt versus the other ones, you know. Now, what we see is the future of diagnostic testing. So this is herein lies the very difficult part, is, you know, when will this crisis eventually fall away, and when will peak testing return to a different new normal of testing, okay? And that, I do believe fundamentally, is there will be a new normal, because I think the world has changed in that, you know, we have the tools available to test not only for COVID and all of its variants, and as we see, there are more and more variants coming on stream, and everybody's acknowledging that, you know, the future of COVID will be probably some element of seasonality and new variants every year, right? Probably new vaccines, you know, so I cannot see a world where testing goes back to the way we used to be. I just don't see that anymore. So one thing I would say is, qualitatively speaking, I think there will be a new normal, and measuring that new normal is impossible it's impossible to gauge. But, you know, I think it's fair to assume that a new higher testing normal will emerge post-COVID crisis. Now, the question then becomes, another question is, when will peak testing start dropping, you know? And our assumptions historically have always been second half, first half this year is peak testing. We're well into the first half, but we're not through the first half. And so far, the vaccines are taking effect. All that is good. We're seeing all the benefits of that, but testing hasn't, you know, there's been no end in sight to testing yet, right? So we're living it today. That's my point, is that we haven't seen testing stop. So I think we're safe. And this is, again, it's very difficult to forecast these things. But I think it feels like we're still safe in our assumption of the first half this year being much like the second half last year, generally speaking, in terms of peak testing. One of the things that's emerging on that topic, though, is that more and more competitive technologies are hitting the market, right? So the supply is catching up with demand, if you see what I mean. So I think demand has stayed the same and probably will for the first half, and then start to trail off in the second half. And bear with me on that, in that, you know, a lot of people think I'm too conservative on that front, that the second half might still be as sustained as the first half, sustained peak testing. But then I would warn that competing technologies are emerging and coming to market over that time frame. So whether it's a demand issue or a supply issue, I think we're safe in the first half. I think the second half will start to see some erosion, you know, in that balance, either, you know, companies achieving smaller market share because of supply, you know, competitive supply, or demand starting to fall off. One way or the other, the market is getting tighter, in my opinion, in the second half of this year.
Just the final point, the one factor which I think might come into it is the speed of testing, that what you ideally want, and you would have wanted like from, you know, from February, March last year, is like an instant breathalyzer type test. You just, you know, wherever you go, before you enter the building, you just, you know, blow on this and then you have an instant result and then you can go in or you don't go in, et cetera, et cetera. A bit like they're doing a bit that like that when they take your temperature when you enter a building. So the technology thing, even if, you know, COVID disappears, you know, although everybody's vaccinated, you'd still want to have an instant COVID test, a breathalyzer test, just to make sure the people who haven't taken it or, you know, haven't been vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. There's always one person that hasn't, let's say in a group, and it goes like that. So there would still, let's say, be a future for these companies, all of these companies, if they can get quicker and quicker, better and better, and more accurate testing, even a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. So it's not a binary thing that, like, everybody's vaccinated by July, and that's it for the testers. You see my
correct point? No, absolutely, I agree. And that kind of falls into the camp of the new normal of testing that's coming in the future. You know, the peak testing that I'm talking about in H2, H1 this year, and maybe into H2 this year, H2 last year, H1 this year, and maybe into H2 this year, but it will slip into some form of new normal, which is a far higher level of testing than where we were prior to the crisis. Basically, testing, everybody knows about testing now. Every single citizen knows about testing. And it's just impossible that we go back to a world where we let the flu rip through society every single year, like we have been doing. You know, people will just be more aware, A, of, you know, social distancing and all the measures we've taken, just to not catch things like the common cold even. And as a result, testing will probably, you know, follow on the heels of that in terms of people will demand more testing. Certainly, you know, you can expect things like panel testing in hospitals where you come in with flu-like symptoms. Well, you know, they need to know, do you have flu? Do you have the common cold? Do you have COVID variant 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? They need to know, or another respiratory issue. So we really didn't do that much before, and now we need to. So, and you know, so there will be definitely, like you say, then there's the commercial elements, right? So I'm talking from an NHS perspective, but absolutely, that there is a big area there to replace, say, government spending on this with commercial spending on testing. And in fact, you can almost expect that that's what the government wants, right? Because it's unsustainable to be spending tens and tens of billions on testing. They're going to want to have some of that offset by the private sector. So like you say, airports, cinemas, you know, the O2, places like that. But the question is, do we have the technology to do exactly what you were, you know, the dream would be this instant test. We don't really, because you're always forfeiting something for that. So, you know, these lateral flow tests, well, you know, their sensitivity, it seems in a real world context, it appears to be somewhere between 50 or 60%, which isn't quite good enough. Do you know what I mean? You know, so you need, technology still has a long way to go to get that kind of, you know, retinal scan level as you're walking through the, you know, as you're walking into the tube or something like that. Yeah, that would be a perfect scenario. But certainly this crisis has made for a big push in terms of development to move towards that really point of need, instant testing. I agree. That's where we're going, but we're not going to get there in a year.
Well, Vadim Alexandre, a healthcare analyst, thank you very much for allowing me to put you on the spot. If I can think of any other way of putting you on the spot, I will do so in the near future, but really appreciate your insight, and I hope the listeners will as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.